Hey Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.
Hi, Shalene. This is Faith Walker calling from Oakland, California. I wanted to let you know that I listened to the podcast by Dr. Shizrai. I may be saying his name wrong, but the topic was Alzheimer's disease. And I was, you know, particularly blown away. I think it was one of the best podcasts that I've listened to. And I listened to a lot of podcasts, but I think it was just concise, to the point. And I think there were, you know, four or five, like, easy things that we can do. So I bought the book. I'm excited and motivated. And that's what I like about your podcast, that it's very motivating and in a real concrete, doable, practical way. So thank you. Keep up the good work.
Hey, what's going on? I'm super excited because I have a new microphone. It sounds really good. I mean, I hope it sounds good. I'm excited. It's the little things. I'm also stoked that you came back. You came back to the Shalene Show. Thanks for being a regular listener. Thanks for being a subscriber. Today, we are going to talk about boundaries. Boundaries are a good thing, but they can also sometimes be problematic, especially if your boundaries are too rigid, you have none at all, or you're absolutely inconsistent in the application of them. You're expecting people to read your mind. So let's talk about it, shall we? Let's do it. Okay, before we start getting into it, this is for the ladies, and this is not a show sponsor, but like I'm freaking out because I just got this in the mail and I'm dying over it. It's a lip cube is what it's called, and it's like every lip color you could ever possibly imagine, but like in the neutral shades, you know, more subtle, like neutral pinks, neutral mauves, like very, very neutral colors. You get 16 colors, and think of like a Rubik's cube, but as you like rotate it, like all of the lip colors kind of like splay out almost like a deck of cards. It's unbelievable. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I just got it from, again, this is not a show sponsor, but I got it from Real Her. I'll spell it R-E-A-L-H-E-R, realher.com. And I think it's one of those like, you know, special edition kind of things where you can't even believe the price you're getting it for. And it is normally $59.99, but I do have a discount code. So if you enter Shalene, so you go realher.com/Shalene and you'll get 20% off. But I'm telling you, you're going to trip out. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I've ordered one for every single one of my girlfriends and they love it. Okay, then not a show sponsor, but like, you know, I got to hook you up when I find something amazing. And you guys are always asking about like, what is your lip color? The honest truth is I'm usually blending like four or five different colors. So I never know how to answer that. Plus, it's just a super cool company that is all about giving back and empowering women. And just to make it easy, I will put a link to all of that in our show notes. Again, it's realher.com/Shalene to get you 20% off. Get the lip cube. I'm telling you. All right, let's talk about boundaries. To be honest, those of us who are in Gen Y, I think we're kind of like the first generation to really embrace personal development, therapy, and all of those things. Maybe even pop psych. But then millennials and Gen Z came along and whew, they have really embraced therapy and all of those things. And it's great. But I do think there's a point at which we take it too far, where we're all just becoming so freaking hypersensitive that everything is a trigger. Everything is a boundary. Everything is, I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I just feel like we've just gone a little too far. And that's kind of why I wanted to do this episode, because I think there's this kind of balance that needs to happen where we need to put boundaries. We all need boundaries. Every one of us does. So let's start first with what is the point of a boundary? What is a boundary? Well, it has been described as a way of establishing your identity. And it's a pretty crucial way of protecting your own mental health and sometimes even your physical well-being, your spiritual well-being, your sexual well-being. Boundaries can be physical boundaries, financial boundaries, emotional boundaries. They can range from being very rigid to non-existent and even healthy. Healthy boundaries are healthy because they help us to protect who we are and to protect our mental state, really, more than anything else. Psychologists John and Linda Friel introduced the psychology of boundaries. And they say that Each individual, this is a quote from them, each individual human being should have a clearly defined boundary around himself or herself, which is like a psychological fence defined by us. This individual boundary allows certain things into our lives and keeps certain things out of our lives. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Another way of looking at it is boundaries are what we define as acceptable in certain areas and with certain people or with certain situations. All right, so let's talk about it. As you might expect, there are countless areas where we need these boundaries. With our children, we need boundaries. They're especially important with our kids because our kids are looking for those boundaries. Those boundaries tell our kids what's okay and what's not okay, and they are going to constantly test those boundaries. An example of a boundary with your children might be you are never to walk into mom and dad's bedroom without knocking. That's a physical boundary. Another boundary might be that you are never to raise your voice or to argue or to throw a fit. That might be a boundary or a rule or an expectation. I mean, you can almost use these words interchangeably. I like to think of boundaries as kind of a pop psych term that basically means we teach people how to treat us. And while consistency is the key, and it is certainly most important to be consistent with your children, because man, if you make one exception where you're like, okay, just this once, I'm going to give into your fit in the grocery store and give you this thing that you're crying for, I promise you, your child will never, ever, ever forget that. And they will push that boundary every single time just to test and see if it's in place today. But once we become adults, it's important that we remember to evaluate each and every situation and not to be so rigid in our boundaries that we lose sense or lose sight of common sense. So let's talk about what it means to have healthy boundaries and what it means to have overly rigid boundaries that are, in the long run, it's going to bite you in the butt. And while we could spend a lot of time talking about healthy and unhealthy boundaries in the workplace, with our neighbors, with strangers, I think the most important place for us to figure this out is in our relationships, our most intimate relationships, our family, our romantic partners, and closest friends. Psychologists believe there are three different types of boundaries, and they tend to fall in alignment with personality types. Let's talk about the first type, which is the type that keeps very rigid boundaries. This is commonly someone who wants control, needs control. And as you might expect, this is the kind of individual who probably didn't have a lot typically growing up, or they've had circumstances, experiences where they didn't feel as though they were in control. Maybe they had narcissistic parents or alcoholic parents, or they were children of addicts. Very common for children of addicts to then become very rigid boundary creators. These are the types of individuals who fear looking exposed, like they don't want to look weak. They don't want to appear as though they're not good at something. So even when the smallest thing might be rejected, they fear this huge avalanche of like losing authority or losing respect or losing control. And, you know, it's kind of a survival mechanism. So they tend to be very perfectionist. They sometimes will use guilt or manipulation to maintain control, and all in the name of, quote, healthy boundaries, but they're really very rigid boundaries. These are the types who become easily jealous. Oftentimes, they fear losing control of a relationship. So those with the most rigid of boundaries are often in relationships where there isn't a lot of activity with other friends or family members or coworkers. It's just kind of you and this person. They are extremely uncomfortable when something unfamiliar presents itself. They want to know ahead of time everything that's going to happen so that they don't look foolish. That's a big part of it. And they tend to get really upset, emotional, and feel like attacked, or almost make a bigger deal about it than it is when their plans are thwarted or when things don't go their way or when someone says, yeah, I don't think so. So usually no to anything to this type of individual means that you are triggering their boundaries, in which case they will often become distant or detached. They tend to lack a playfulness. They lack an empathy. And so instead, what they'll do is put up these very, very rigid boundaries to, again, protect themselves. I mean, everything we do is to kind of protect ourselves, right? But their identity is crystal clear and it never changes. Like, they tend to be very dictator-ish. They thrive in a position of authority. So they want kind of like all decisions to go through them. Someone who needs to make very rigid boundaries often finds somebody who likes to be with somebody who makes very rigid boundaries. And that works nicely because someone who thrives with rigid boundaries will often find someone who is an ultimate people pleaser, who will parrot or adopt or accept the boundaries and allow that person to maintain control. It needs to be their ideas and their techniques. They do believe that they're superior. Their techniques and ideas are. They don't necessarily think that they are a superior human, but they believe they have superior ideas and techniques. And then therefore, that's why everyone should follow these boundaries. The thinking is typically pretty black and white. And if things don't go as they planned, they just have a difficult time taking that in stride. Instead, they feel like they've been cheated or triggered or hurt or manipulated rather than just being able to accept it. Oh, well, things didn't go as I had planned or as I had outlined. They really need to be in control and the person of authority. Now, to be clear, people who have rigid boundaries may not have those rigid boundaries with all people, but there are certain relationships where it just really presents itself. A perfect example of where you might see this is between a new mom and her mother-in-law, right? And so new mom doesn't want to look stupid, doesn't want her weak spots exposed. She wants to be a good mom. She wants to, you know, there's this strange balance between her husband and her mother-in-law's son, if that makes sense. And there may be this fear that she's going to lose control of the relationship over her son or the child. It's hard to say. And so you often see these very rigid boundaries reveal themselves with a daughter-in-law who sets these ridiculous, rigid boundaries around grandma. Like, we are no longer taking our children to grandma's house because grandma let them drink apple juice and it had 25 grams of sugar. And so our children will never be allowed to go there again. That is a rigid, ridiculous boundary that only hurts the child, and it only hurts your relationship with your spouse, unless, of course, your child is diabetic. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's that sweating the small stuff, allowing the little things to feel like rejection, to turning the smallest of things that, like, yeah, maybe your child didn't eat the way you wanted them to for the 2 hours they were at grandma's house. That's how grandma spoiled their children. And you treat it like this avalanche that you've lost all authority or that your mother-in-law doesn't respect you and you're losing control. And so that's where you'll see people who fear losing that control, setting boundaries that in the long run hurt all the relationships. And oftentimes this happens when you've got someone who really feels like they need to be in control. And it is very common to see this happen where people are jealous. Like maybe it is your partner who is very jealous of the time you spend with your in-laws, your parents. And so he or she sets up these unrealistic, rigid boundaries where you are no longer going to be spending any time with them or any holidays because they make him upset for whatever reason. And I'm not saying that there aren't certain circumstances where there needs to be a healthy boundary in place. But when it comes to rigid boundaries, it's all about control, fear of losing authority, respect, and ultimately, power. When you're in a relationship with someone who makes rigid boundaries, your boundaries are not an agreement. And here's how you know it's not an agreement, because you don't have the ability to make a decision that is an exception to that boundary. The weaker partner adopts the rigid boundary maker's boundaries. And we know this to be true because the weaker partner has to almost plead their case. And in fact, they fear pleading their case, even when they know common sense tells them, yeah, in this situation, this boundary should be relaxed. See, boundaries are kind of like a fence, and fences, most of them have a gate that you can open and close when it's appropriate. A boundary is a fence. It's not a brick wall. What's up, lifers? Listen, ladies in particular, bras. The reason why women whip off their bras the second they walk in their door is because most of them are uncomfortable. That is unless, of course, you own a Third Love bra. Ladies, I'm telling you, the reason why I'm so proud to have Third Love as a sponsor of the show is because I wear a Third Love bra almost every single day. They fit like no other. They've got up to 80 sizes, including signature half cup sizes. But here's the deal.
I personally think it's because they understand anatomy better than anybody. It's not just how much volume you have. It's also the shape of your breasts. The shape of your boobs will determine what bra you should be wearing. And Third Love uses tons of different measurements from millions of women to design a bra that will fit you all day with great comfort and support. All you have to do is go to their website. They've got a little quiz that you'll take. It takes like less than 60 seconds. And when you take the quiz, it will help you select the perfect fitting bra. I'm not even joking. The straps don't dig in. They're lightweight, but they've got good support. There's no annoying tag on the back. You're going to freaking love them. Hands down, this will be the best bra you've ever bought. I promise you. Listen, Third Love stands behind all of their products. If for any reason you don't love it, they're going to give you 60 days to try it on and wear it out. And for any reason you don't love it, just send it back to them. And what's really cool is they donate those gently used bras to women in need. Super cool. Personally, I love the 24/7 classic t-shirt bra, but I also love the classic plunge bra. So I have it in black. I have it in nude. I have it in a couple different colors. Anyways, that's a great bra. And I want you to try one. And so does Third Love. In fact, they are giving lifers 20% off your first order. All you have to do is go to thirdlove.com/Shalene and find your perfect fitting bra. Take the quiz. Get your 20% off your first purchase. Again, that's thirdlove.com/Shalene, 20% off today. All right. Now let's talk about those who lack boundaries entirely. Typically, these are the folks who they feel like they don't have anything to contribute. They want other people to be in control. Most of all, they want to be liked. Most likely, you struggle to have any boundaries if you generally say yes to almost everything, especially if saying no would make you uncomfortable. People who don't have the ability to make boundaries resist and run away from the feeling, that uncomfortable feeling, and they tend to get nervous and even upset if they're forced or pressed to make a decision. They hate taking charge. They would much prefer that human connection and that validation that they feel in their relationship. So because of that, they are not often very good at creating boundaries that help them to maintain who they are and to protect their own identity. Instead, they depend on others to tell them what they should think, what they should do, how they should sound, when they should do it, and who they should do it for and how. They just refuse to take on that role. And as you might expect, those who lack boundaries often find themselves with people who make rigid boundaries. For the person who has no boundaries, it's really difficult for them to have an identity too. It becomes very fuzzy because they really don't have any clarity around their own needs. So it's difficult for them to identify like who they are and other than by connecting to other people. So they tend to define themselves through their relationships. They connect with other people kind of on a surface level, but they usually can't go much deeper because they don't want to declare their own personal values or beliefs for fear that they will not be accepted by the rigid boundary maker. Because these folks tend to be very likable, people assume that they're incredibly confident and would be surprised to know that these individuals actually question their own ideas and techniques. They tend to subconsciously believe that they are the inferior leader, that somebody else's ideas and techniques generally are better, at least in certain relationships. Now, remember, you might be the person who is without boundaries in one relationship, and you might be the person who has rigid boundaries in another relationship. The idea behind today's episode is to help you to think about the relationships where something feels off and ask yourself what type of boundaries you're creating, because ultimately what we want are healthy boundaries. So what do healthy boundaries look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. Healthy boundaries are those where we are so clear in our identity and what we will and won't accept that we don't really need to force the issue with other people. We don't feel as triggered. We don't feel out of control or slighted or disrespected when somebody oversteps our boundaries. We know how to course correct. We know how to protect our own boundaries. Our identity is very clear, but it's also flexible. Examples of healthy boundaries are
expecting people to respect you, but also knowing if they don't, you respect yourself enough to just remove yourself from the situation without having to make a big statement about it or to declare that we are never going to be in the presence of those people ever again. I mean, unless, of course, it's that horrible. A healthy boundary is having the ability to say no or no thank you, even if that does make you feel momentarily uncomfortable, but you know it's the right thing to say because you're protecting your own identity. Like, you're protecting who you are, and you have the strength to be uncomfortable in that without having to hurt someone else. It's being able to say no and also recognizing you don't have to explain why. Healthy boundaries allow you to figure out who you are outside of all relationships. You know, we cannot define ourselves through our relationships, and too many people who lack healthy boundaries do just that. They don't quite know what their own identity is, so their significance or importance is because of their relationship with so-and-so, and because of that, their boundaries get very weak. A healthy boundary is where it's okay for you to ask for help, and it's also okay for you to let someone know you don't need their help. It's being able to communicate something that's uncomfortable. It is sharing mutually. It's sticking up for yourself where you need to, where there's something that's going to come from it. Here's what I mean by that. I have a healthy boundary around the respect I expect from people who communicate with me in social media. If I get more than a couple of rude DMs from somebody, I can decide to stick up and like argue back and forth with that person for myself, like to defend myself. To me, that's unhealthy. And that's an unhealthy, rigid boundary. What's more healthy is for me to realize I can just delete them. I can just ignore them. I don't need to stick up for myself because I don't need to convince them of my values or my identity or my beliefs or anything else. Healthy boundaries give you the right to change your mind. Healthy boundaries give you the right to make exceptions. It is a healthy boundary to be able to communicate your physical needs, your emotional needs, your spiritual needs, your needs for time. Allow me to take just a moment to thank today's show sponsor, which is Organifi. You guys know how I feel about Organifi. It is my go-to. In fact, this is so refreshing. I have a glass of ice, fresh water mixed with Pure and Immunity. It's got just enough citrus. That's two of their products mixed together. I don't know if everybody likes the taste of that. I do. I love it. It's like an orange flavor. That's the Immunity, kind of tastes like orange. And then the Pure has a lemony taste, and I mix two of them together, and that way I get everything I need for my immunity, my antiviral, my antifungal. It's just a great way to support your immune system every single day. And then I mix that with my Organifi Pure, which is, it's basically all the superfoods that your brain needs to help reach maximum mental performance. In other words, it's what I drink to help me think better, to help my memory, to increase neurogenesis. And get this, this is the other reason why I drink it. Their product is clinically proven to boost BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, by up to 142%. Anyways, they've got tons of great products. Whatever your nutritional needs might be lacking or your palate might be craving, Organifi is definitely the company to check out. All right, guys, the cool news, you get 20% off all of their products when you use code Chalene. Again, it's Organifi, and I'm going to spell it Organifi.com/Chalene. That's Organifi.com/Chalene, and you get 20% off. All right. So I think we all know someone, maybe even ourselves, we have situations where we know we've been rigid, and there are certain circumstances where we know we turn into a doormat and we just allow ourselves to be disrespected. That builds resentment and anger. And, you know, even that person with no boundaries, they have them. They're just not expressing them or communicating them or respecting them themselves. And that will build resentment, anxiety, anger, and stress. And ultimately, it is going to backfire on both parties. For the person who needs to keep very rigid boundaries, that person, it's going to backfire on them too. They constantly feel like they're losing control, and they will blow through relationships time and time again until they realize that part of the problem is their boundaries. So how do we go about establishing healthy boundaries? Well, the first thing you have to do, and this is what I would recommend, As you know, I try to make sure that there's a takeaway in every Chalene Show episode. So let's go through this exercise. I want you to identify one person right now who comes to mind where you're like, I have got to establish some boundaries. I've got to establish some boundaries with them. Okay, so let's just focus on one person. And the next thing I want you to do is to just think about the situations, scenarios where the behavior is either pushing it or maybe it's even unacceptable. And I want you to clearly define that because clarity for you is the key. In fact, if you have clarity, there's a really good chance you don't even have to have this very uncomfortable confrontation that you might be worried about having. If you have mental clarity about the type of behavior you will and won't accept, oftentimes we start subconsciously teaching people how to treat us. It's very simple. And then the next step, number three, is consistency. Like it's consistently remembering when my mom calls, and this is not my mom. My mom, as you know, you've heard her on the show. She's so positive. But let's just say that when your mom calls, she starts nitpicking you and asking you about your weight and, you know, have you colored your hair? I really don't like the color you've been wearing. She starts nitpicking you and doing all these things. And you have a mental boundary where you are not going to allow her to make you feel bad or to let her pick apart your appearance. You don't even have to outwardly communicate to her, Mom, this is one of my boundaries and you've disrespected it. You can just simply say each time she starts that, well, Mom, it's been lovely, but I do have to go. And if you just say, I have to go every single time she launches into that, I promise you, she's going to get the hint. And if she doesn't, the phone calls just get shorter and shorter and shorter. And so you've protected your boundary without having to be mad at her or upset with her because, frankly, the reason why we're usually upset when someone steps over our boundaries is because we're upset with ourselves, because we allowed it to happen. You're allowing that person to continually step on you because you haven't protected your boundaries. It's not because this person hasn't respected it. You didn't respect it. And part of the reason why we don't respect it is because we've never clearly defined it. Now, without a doubt, there are circumstances where it's important to communicate our boundaries because we can never expect others to read our minds. And this is really important in your romantic relationships and relationships with your children. And really, for the most part, any really important relationship where the other person is open to growth. Now, listen, I don't mean to create any stereotypes, but typically our parents, it's just they're not into growth. It's just like they are who they are. They're not going to change. We have to love them as they are. And we have to remember that we are adults and it's up to us to clearly define our own boundaries and it's up to us to protect them. Again, now, okay, so back to communicating these things with a romantic partner or someone who is willing to grow with you. The way that you communicate a boundary is everything. If you communicate a boundary in such a way that you're already being defensive and you've already put that person in the corner and you're pointing a finger at them and if you do this and when you do that, I need you to know that I will, blah, blah, blah. When we go on the offense, we put the other person on the defense, and that just never feels good. So I think the best way to communicate things is to do so in a loving way, to keep intentions in mind, and to simply express your own needs. And when you're going through a very stressful period or there's a lot of tension, that's when it's most important to communicate your needs. And I guess this is where the whole generational thing comes in, because I just feel like we're overusing the word triggered. We're overusing the word anxiety. We're overusing the word boundaries, like all these things where it's like, we're just forgetting to allow people to freaking be humans and mess up and to give them some grace, to recognize that it wasn't intentional. It may have been an oversight, and to give people the benefit of the doubt and explain to people why this is important to me. And maybe instead of thinking of it as a boundary, thinking of it as a polite, calm, loving way to express what works best for you, what it is you need, and to ask them for help. Instead of saying like, these are my boundaries and you have to adhere to them. Wouldn't it be so much nicer to have the conversation be framed in a more loving way? This is what I need your help with. And it would mean a lot to me if you could help me in this way. This would mean a lot. Wouldn't you be far less defensive if the conversation was framed in that way? I know I would. Yet despite our most loving efforts, there are individuals, there are relationships where they just aren't getting the message. And you do need to be much more direct. And these are important relationships, maybe relationships where you don't have a choice. Like it's your brother, it's your boss, it's your sibling, it's your spouse. In which case, you have every right to protect your mental health and well-being. You have every right to let them know what your rules are when it comes to your personal belongings, your boundaries when it comes to criticizing you. And basically, you can just tell them, hey, when you do that, this is what you can expect for me to do. You don't even have to have a conversation around these are my boundaries. You can say, listen, if you're going to talk about my weight, the conversation's done. I still love you, but from afar, because that's not something I'm willing to talk about. Listen, sister, I love spending time with you, but when you drink in excess, I don't feel comfortable. And so when we hang out, if you're going to have more than a couple of cocktails, just know that it makes me feel really uncomfortable. I worry about your safety. And so from now on, when that happens, I'm going to need to call an Uber. After having countless loving conversations with your significant other about the comments they make, which you find, you know, really humiliating or degrading in front of others, and they're just not understanding that, you just need to let them know how you will behave in the future. So another way of looking at boundaries is to just set expectations. And it's, you're telling them, I can't control you. I can't tell you what to do or what to think, but please know that when you behave this way, you can expect me to do this. And then you've got to follow through. If you have said to your significant other, the next time you humiliate me or disrespect me in front of others in that way, you can expect that I will politely excuse myself from the table and I'll get an Uber and go home. Or you can say, you can expect that the next time that happens, I will point out that you've just hurt my feelings and I would like an apology. I will ask for an apology at the table. Oh my God, wouldn't that be so uncomfortable? I've been out to dinner with those kinds of couples. It's not fun. It's not fun for the people that you're with. It's not fun for either party. And yeah, that's an important place to let people know what it is you will and won't tolerate. Boundaries are ours to protect. It's not other people's responsibility to read our minds. And it's also not their responsibility to honor our boundaries. It's our responsibility to protect them. And it starts with your clarity around what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. And then also remembering that boundaries don't have to be brick walls. There are sometimes exceptions that need to be made when empathy has to be exercised or common sense has to be applied to the situation. You don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face. I love that cliche. Listen, so I have a personal boundary where I like to keep the show around 30 minutes, but it's also a flexible boundary. You've listened to episodes that are 35 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. This one we're keeping pretty close to 30 minutes. See, sometimes I have to use my own common sense and go, wow, this guest is like on fire and there's so much information and I'm just going to let them keep talking and talking. So that would be an example of a flexible boundary because it's in the best interest of the show. Also in the best interest of the show is leaving a 5-star review. If you haven't done so, could you please do me a favor and let me know which episode you really got something like an episode that you're like, that one, I sent it to other people. It really hit home or it really helped. Or like, I love it when you guys say, I love all of your episodes. Please don't leave a review if you don't like the show. That's just, you know, keep it to yourself. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. But if you do have a review to leave, I'm telling you, the ones where you tell me specifically which episode you loved, that means the world to me. Thank you so much for doing that. Wednesday's show is going to be devoted to parenting. And Friday, I'm going to do a lifer update. There's so much going on. Oh my gosh, with Bob, the Alzheimer's Chronicles. Oh my gosh, so much has happened. I know I didn't do an episode last Friday. Again, that was a flexible boundary. I do 3 episodes a week, but last week, my podcast manager, Kristen, just got to see her first baby grandson, and she was out of town, and we had a lot going on. So I was like, you know what? It just makes sense for us to bend this boundary a little bit, but there will be one this Friday and you want to tune in because there's been so much that's happened. And I know a lot of you are really invested in that story and sleep and Bob's Alzheimer's and how we're sorting through all of this. And it's been crazy. So much to update you on. I love you. I mean it. And I'll talk to you soon.